Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service on this very beautiful Sunday morning. It's nice to see the blue sky and the sun, and it's getting warm out there, so it's a very wonderful day to be here in East Tennessee. A couple of announcements. Bible study will resume this Wednesday, 5 o'clock, at Terry and Nora Lee's house. And so we are in the first letter of John. And so everyone is invited to that. We always have a good time, and hopefully we learn a lot. And we enjoy some good snacks, too. So also another announcement that Wanda wanted me to make. We have a few nuts left. I think mostly pecans is what Wanda said. But I do believe we have some almonds as well. But all the bags are for sale for $8. And we've made our money back, so we have lowered the price just so we can, you know, move them along. So if anybody wants to buy any, just pick you up a few bags, and you can leave Wanda a check or get in touch with her, ever how you want to do it, to get her paid. So they're all over here in the, what is that, the adult Sunday school room, the spares and pears Sunday school room. They're over there with a few on that table just outside of Wanda's office. So if anybody wants any, just let us know and we will get them to you. Other than that, there's not really too much going on. We are hopefully heading towards warmer weather. And good news, I've read that at least in Israel, one of the vaccines for COVID has knocked their caseload down by like 95% or something like that. So seems to be pretty effective. Hopefully that will continue to be the case for many other places. And maybe life can return. I don't want to say to normal, because, you know, life is never normal, but can return back to some semblance of normalcy. So with all of that in mind, let us begin our worship service this morning with our chiming of the hour. As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. For those of you at home, if you happen to have a United Methodist hymnal, it is number 327, and we will sing the first and last verses, the first and last verses. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, number 881, if you happen to be at home with the United Methodist hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. And one praise is, I'm very thankful for the weather. It's very beautiful. And I'm glad we get rain and all those kinds of things. But as I've said before, we're creatures of light. God created us that way. And the sun is a nice thing for us to have, and it's certainly good for our health, both physical and mental. Also, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, some of you may not have heard, Israel is reporting that one of the vaccines, I believe the Pfizer vaccine, has reduced their COVID cases by about 95%. So it's being very effective there. Hopefully it will be effective other places, but I'm very thankful to hear that information. So I also bring a few prayer requests. A former parishioner from when I was up in Tazewell contacted me and said that a friend of hers, I didn't know him, but a friend of hers, Aaron Massengill, has been missing since Wednesday. And they're not sure what's happened, anything like that. They don't really have any clues, but she prayed for his being found, as well as for his family and all. So I told her that we would keep them all in our prayers. Also, Bobby Crow, who goes to Chevront, his best friend Leonard passed away. And he's known Leonard a long time. So he asked that we would keep him in your prayer, in our prayers, as well as Leonard's family. And then also Carolyn Pemberton lost her brother, and that is a friend of Nora Lee's. She's known since college, so if you will, pray for her and for her family. And then my Aunt Brenda is having some health issues. There's nothing to be overly worried about, primarily because we're not sure what is going on. However, she is down to about 109 pounds, my mom said, and the women in my mom's family are not 109-pound women, so that's not to say that, you know, they're big, but I mean, you can see me. I'm a big person, so some of those genes come from my mom. And so for my aunt to be 109 pounds is not a good thing in whatever is causing it. So if you will, keep her in your prayers. And of course, we want to pray for the people of Texas and the other places that have been hit with all these winter storms and such. West Tennessee has actually been hit pretty hard. I've had a few things that I've ordered in the mail that are still stuck in a center in West Tennessee. So they've been there since about Thursday or Friday. So they're still having some issues over there. Does anyone else have any prayer requests they would like to share? Yes, sir.
So now they're trying to find somebody that will come out to their house, but everyone in their house has COVID.
Well, that's helpful, yeah. We will keep them in our prayers still. I thought I saw Richard. Maybe I didn't. I was going to ask him how his sister was doing, but I guess I didn't see him. So we will keep your son and his family in our prayers. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? All right, well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your Spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt, with your help, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we have many requests today. But before we request, we just want to thank you for all the things that you do, for giving us this beautiful day, for allowing us to meet together in fellowship without fear of violence or persecution or anything such as that. We thank you, Lord, that all of us here are in relatively good health. Maybe we have some ailments and such, but we were able to get up and get out and come to church and do those types of things, and we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, for those who are not able to do so. We pray for those who are dealing with sicknesses. We pray for my Aunt Brenda and for Dave's son and his family, that whatever is going on in Aunt Brenda's life, that you would bring her comfort, strength, and healing. And for David's son and his family, that you would help them to feel better and also help them to be able to find someone who can come out and take care of their heating and cooling and all that stuff, all those systems. Lord, we also want to pray for all those who have lost loved ones, for Carolyn Pemberton, and for Bobby Crow and Leonard's family at the loss of Leonard. And we also want to pray for Aaron Massengill and for his family. May he be found safe and well, and may you give them comfort and strength during these difficult times. We pray all of these things, Lord, in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's see. Our next hymn is Only Trust Him. If you have a United Methodist hymnal there at home, it's number 337. For those of us who are here, we'll have it on the screen, and we will sing verses 1 and 4. And please stand as you are able. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we would like to pray over our tithes and offerings. And as a quick reminder, we have a basket here and in the narthex that you can give to. You can mail in your tithe and offering. You can drop it off in the mailbox or drop it by if you happen to see mine or Wanda's car here. You can also give online. There are two church Facebook pages. One is a group and one is a Facebook page. And both have a link to give online if you prefer to do that way. And as always, if you feel the Lord leading you to give elsewhere, then please, by all means, follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But at this time, let us say a prayer over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, as we prepare to give back of those blessings, we ask that you would remind us, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Well, we are in the first Sunday of Lent. Lent started this past Wednesday for Ash Wednesday. For those of you who were able to make it, I hope that you enjoyed the service. And Lent, I like to remind people, is spelled with an E, not with an I. And I'd said this morning at Chevrant that it's not the stuff that you clean out of your dryer to keep the house from burning down. And then Jane over at Chevrant said, you know, that's an interesting metaphor. Lent is the time where you remember that you were cleansed yourself so that you wouldn't burn down. And I thought that that was an interesting take on things, and so I thought I would share that with you. But Lent is a season of 40 days leading into Easter, and it's a time of reflection, it's a time of repentance, it's a time of fasting and prayer. And on Ash Wednesday, I had told everyone where Lent comes from. The idea is that in the early church, and even today in the two main liturgical churches, the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox churches, baptisms, except in extreme circumstances, only happen on Easter Sunday. And this is, from a theological, spiritual standpoint, it's a good way to remind us that just as Christ died and was raised to cleanse us and free us from our sins, so baptism symbolically does that, and what better time to do that than Easter, right? There was also a practical reason for this, and that was because the early church, as many of you know, I'm sure, was heavily persecuted. The church is still persecuted in many places around the world, but in the early church, they were heavily persecuted, and the churches would get together. They wouldn't come into a building like this, obviously. Their church services tended to be, they would have a meal together, and then those who had been baptized would go into a secret place, if you will, and take communion. And so the early church had a problem with people showing up, seeing if they found some of those dirty old Christians, and telling the authorities about them. So the church said, you know, if we make people wait a year and have to go through discipleship classes and all those kinds of things, only the committed will actually stay. And even if they're not committed at first, throughout that time, maybe they will actually become committed. If there had been Methodists back then, they would have known that if you just baptize everybody, the faithful will remain and everybody else will go to another church. That's some Methodist humor for you. Just, you know, if you've been a Methodist long enough, you know what I'm talking about. But that's what the early church did. That's how they did baptism and new members and things such as that. And it came after a little while that the 40 days before Easter became a season of fasting and prayer and preparation for the upcoming baptism and Easter ceremony. And it was a reminder of Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, being tempted and fasting and doing such things. Nowadays, it's part of the liturgical calendar. Not all churches participate in Lent. Some participate in it to a certain degree. Some participate in it very much. Our brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church, if they're really devoted, they will either not eat on Friday or can only eat fish. And so my favorite thing about Lent, besides the symbolism and all that, is that Arby's brings out their fish sandwich. And it's a delicious fish sandwich, and I'm always happy because I can go get a fish sandwich from Arby's. But Lent, as I say, is a time of sacrifice. It's a time of remembering what God has done for us. Now you may say, well, that's good, Sam, but what in the world does Genesis 9, 8 through 17 have to do with this? This is the Old Testament reading in our calendar for our liturgy for the United Methodist Church. Sometimes if you happen to look through the liturgy, you kind of wonder what some of the readings have to do, especially when you get to seasons like Lent and Christmas. But what this passage is reminding us is this. God chose us. He chose you and He chose me. And He did it not for any other reason than because He loved us. Noah wasn't the greatest guy in the world. I mean, he was the best that was on the earth. That's why God chose him and his family, but he wasn't the greatest guy in the world. If you remember the story, once the flood is over with and everything, the first thing Noah does is gets drunk. And then he gets seduced. It's a funny thing about human beings. We can sit here and go, can't believe that Noah would do something like that after everything that he just witnessed. But let's be fair. How many of us can see a great thing be done by God and right after, it's like we didn't learn our lesson at all, right? How many of us have prayed for God to help us with something, whatever it may be. Maybe we're struggling. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's a mental health thing. Maybe it's an addiction thing, a healing thing. Could be lots of things. We struggle, and God answers our prayer, and we say, wow, wow. And then we start worrying again. We start messing things up again. We look at God's, or the disciples Jesus chose, and I did a sermon series on them. If you remember, not one of those guys was a very good person, right? And if we throw the women in, especially if we take the idea that Mary Magdalene was the prostitute who washed Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears, that adds to it as well. Who did Jesus call? He called some religious extremists. He called a tax collector who was a sinner, a great sinner in many ways. He was a traitor. He called an actual traitor, right? A greedy human being named Judas. He called some smelly old fisherman. He didn't call anybody that I would have called, right? When you go for a job, or if you've worked in HR and you're hiring people, what do you look for? You don't go, boy, who is the most unqualified person that I can get for this job? Who can I get that can't do this job to save their lives? The only place that I've ever known that hires people like that is Kmart. Because, you know, there's a reason that Kmart is not around anymore. You go to Kmart and you can't find anybody, and the people that you do find don't know where anything is. So nobody hires unqualified people unless they either owe a favor to somebody or they're foolish or they see something in them. And that's what Jesus did. The people that he called, they weren't qualified. But Jesus didn't need qualified people. He just needed people who would do what needed to be done. I'm sure many of you, probably all of you, remember September 11th, 2001, right? It's the first major memory of my life, and by major, I mean world-changing event. I was alive during the Challenger explosion, but I don't really remember it. Some of you remember different things. You might remember when JFK was assassinated. You might remember when people landed on the moon. You might remember Vietnam. You might remember when Vietnam ended. You may remember the civil rights movement. You may remember whenever the Berlin Wall fell down. I just do remember it. But September 11th was my first world-changing event. And the morning of September 11th is burned in my brain. I can still see what I was doing the morning of September 11th. I can still remember the phone call that I got from my friend James, who, when he called me and told me what was happening, and I was like, James, it is too early in the morning to be calling people and playing jokes on them, you know? And he said, no, seriously. I remember seeing the video. I remember all the footage. I remember my mom only lives about 20 minutes from Hartsfield International Airport, which is the busiest airport in the world. And I remember going down the weekend after September 11th happened to visit my mom, and there weren't any planes. There weren't any planes even thinking about doing anything. They'd all been grounded. It was an eerie thing. And I often think about being the president at the time. You know, President George W. Bush, I'm sure that when he decided to run for president, he didn't think, you know, I really hope that some guys fly some planes into some towers and cause a huge upheaval in American life. That would really help my presidency. Whether you liked him or you didn't like him, or whether you agree with him or you disagree with him, there's one thing that I think we can all agree on. President Bush had a hard first portion of his presidency. He was just a good old boy from Texas. Yeah, he had money, and yeah, he had connections and all that stuff, but ultimately that's what he was, a good old boy from Texas. And on top of that, he was a recovering alcoholic, and anybody who has ever been in recovery or been with somebody who's in recovery or dealt with anything like that knows this. When stress comes, temptation rides its coattails. Imagine you're a recovering alcoholic. You've already got the stress of leading the most powerful nation in the world. And now you find out somebody just did what they did on September 11th. Imagine the stress you would be under. And if you are a recovering addict or you've been around them, you know he had to have thought, I sure could use a beer right now. I sure could use a shot right now. He had to have. President Bush led us through some difficult times. He made some mistakes. Of course he did. He's human. But God didn't say, you know, the best person, the most qualified person for this position at this time is George W. Bush. Instead, God said, is he willing to do the job? And he was. History will judge how well he did the job. But he was willing and he did the job. See, God chooses us not based on anything that we have going for us. He chooses us because he wants us to see the mighty works that he can do through the willing and the humble. God chose Noah because he was the best he had at the time. And he wasn't all that great. But that doesn't tell us anything except if God chooses you, if God chooses me, it doesn't matter if we're not good enough. It doesn't matter what we think about ourselves. It doesn't matter what our skill set is. None of that matters. As long as we trust God. We live in difficult times. Everybody's said that. You've probably heard it a million times. Boy, it sure is. This has been a difficult year. We live in difficult times. Sure is hard. But you know what? If you've been around not for very long, you start realizing we always kind of live in difficult times. Right? There's always something. There's always some crisis. And sometimes it's big and major things, and sometimes it's just big and major in our heads. But there's always something going on. But God has put us here at this time, in this place, because through us, he can build his kingdom. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage all of us. It's really easy to be frustrated. It's really easy to lose focus. It's really easy to lose hope. It's really easy to be concerned and worried. All those things are easy. They almost come naturally to us as human beings. God chose us not because we were worthy, but simply because he knew what we were capable of. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to do whatever it is that you have placed before us to do. If it's to pray, may we pray fervently. If it's to do things, may we do them as if unto the Lord. In everything, may we remember, it's not about whether or not we are worthy. Rather, it's about the fact that you have called us worthy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And taking them, may you extend them to all whom you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.